Informed, not inflamed. Sports.
And hi, everyone. It is already week 10 of the NFL. This is the time of year that tough prove themselves. So with injuries piling up, which team has the edge to survive the injuries? A lacerated kidney for Andrew Luck? We've seen this before. Is it scary and too common now? And should the Rams defensive coach get the blame for the cheap shot on Teddy Bridgewater? And injuries, the reason for what appears to be some bad football teams, or is it just parody? Could Brady be as angry about playing the Giants as he was about the Flategate? And what are the worst defenses in the league? There are a few. And we're going to give you some college QBs to look at over the next few weeks who could be playing on Sundays next year. And another blow to fantasy sports, this time in New York State. As always, our expert is Eric Schneider. He is the author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. You can hear him on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, we got a lot of cover. Good morning.
Good morning to you, John. I can't believe it's week 10. Here's a quick one. The National Hockey League has been playing for about 3.5 weeks, and every one of their teams has already played more games than anyone in the NFL will play the entire season. It's staggering how quick this season goes.
Wow, no doubt about it. Let's get to some news, though. There are some protests in New York City this morning. I was actually watching this live on Periscope with Darren Revelle of ESPN. I couldn't tell if this was actually a groundswell or not, and here's what they're protesting. The New York State Attorney General this week is closing down fantasy sports in New York State. It has allegedly happened in Nevada, and I say allegedly because I keep hearing you saying that people can actually play in Las Vegas. What are you hearing about New York and Nevada?
Well, people are continuing to play in Nevada. Good friends of mine are continuing to play in Nevada and had some action in last night's game between the Bills and the Jets as far as fantasy goes. So what I think is going to happen in New York, and it's obviously happening here, is and you are much the expert on politics, this is a huge leverage move by these states to try and get a piece of the pie. I mean, it's exactly what I think is happening right now. I think this is going to go to the courts, but FanDuel and DraftKings are the two major, obviously, sites that they're targeting right now that have these so-called, what these sites call skill contests, and they're calling it gambling. What they're doing is their lawyers are figuring out a way to keep this going. It's sort of like when an NFL player gets suspended, he could play under appeal while he's appealing the suspension. It's the same analogy with what's going on right now with FanDuel and DraftKings against the Attorney General of New York and obviously the state of Nevada. We talked about this on the show weeks ago, that Nevada was trying to shut it down and actually went on and had great media coverage of shutting down these sites. And that very day I was in an establishment in Las Vegas and I was watching guys at a bar set their teams. It was actually during the week when the Saints played the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football, which is, we're going back to the National League playoffs. We talked about that. So we're talking five weeks ago. So what I think is going to happen, if you want me in a nutshell, you're going to see more states continue to try and do this. I think the lawyers that represent FanDuel and DraftKings are going to continue to get stays, what I call stays of execution, and it seems going to drag out. These sites are absolutely humongous. And you see, I know I'm long-winded on this, John, but you lived in Las Vegas, and you can see why Las Vegas or the state of Nevada is very concerned about this, because they want every single dollar that you have spent in their casinos. Okay, and I'll give you an example. There's no more, when you lived in Las Vegas, there were stand-only movie theaters. In other words, you go to a movie theater, it could be in a shopping center. Since 2007, every movie theater that's built in Las Vegas has to be connected to a casino. And why is that? Because subliminally, they want you walking through a casino to get to a movie theater, so maybe after the movie, you're going to stop and play a machine or play a table. So everything is delegated towards gambling in a casino in Las Vegas. New York, I don't understand. I'm reading into it. I saw Revelle's thing, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on there, because there is no gambling in New York other than Indian casinos, John. And the bottom line is, the only thing I could ponder out of this whole thing, it's a leverage move. And it's going to continue in the courts, but bottom line is, I continue my tirade here, these sites are going to continue, and they're gaining in popularity. They're really gaining in popularity. If you look at the action, what's going on in the NBA, there's a lot of they take action on every single sport. And now that the NBA season has started, there's guys doing fantasy basketball every day. So I think this thing's going to drag out. And I bet you, if I'm a betting man, I bet you FanDuel and DraftKings wins out.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen too, I agree with you, is because the money is so big, especially for the outlets. For instance, the reason why there is no gambling in the NFL is because the league doesn't want it. The league likes this. The league's making money off this. Teams are jumping in, like you're saying. The NBA's doing it. MLB's doing it as well. You're beginning to see that the fantasy sports companies are now hiring some real bigwig lawyers with political clout. And to be honest with you, the fact that there was any sort of a protest in New York City today says that this thing is really catching on, and it's catching on with a lot of people. And you've made the point, and I agree with you, this does seem like gambling. At the same time, too, it's fun and it's entertainment for a lot of people. So there you've got the battle lines right there.
I agree. I mean, we're both on the same page in this whole thing, and I think if in the end, we're going to continue to have the FanDuels and DraftKings and other sites going to pop up in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Okay, let's talk some injuries now. Colts with Andrew Luck, the Broncos, Steelers, Patriots, they have some big injuries. Colts have a bye this week, so that'll help them get by with losing Luck for maybe 2 to 6 weeks. Which team has the worst of it going into this?
The San Diego Chargers. I know they're 2-7, but that I've never seen a team in my 40 years of watching football and my 25 years plus of covering it, I've never seen a team so decimated with injuries, and I never use injuries as an excuse. But here's a great stat, John. We're in week 10 of the NFL season 2015, and there's never been more guys on injured reserve or out for certain games in the history of the league. And we talked about the why this is happening. I say the players did it to themselves with the collective bargaining agreement in 2011, when Seneca only have 14 padded practices in the offseason and limited work in the offseason. I'm convinced guys are coming into the camps out of shape, like LeSean McCoy did and DeSean Jackson with the hamstrings. And the game's a violent game. These guys are bigger and faster, and it's brutal. And such a, you know, this is a sport where in week 10, every game is so monumental, John, that you get an injury and the guy's out a couple of weeks. Look at the Steelers. You're asking the Colts, Broncos, Steelers, and Patriots. Ben's out 3 to 4 weeks. He comes back, and in the second game, he gets injured again. It's constant what's going on, and we're having big names go out every week. Alshon Jeffrey, as we speak, hurt his knee in practice. He's had over 100 yards receiving for the Bears the last 3 weeks, and hurt his knee in practice on a contact drill. So it's crazy. I've never seen a season like this. The Colts right now, if you had to ask me what team can't survive this, it's going to be the Colts, I think, even though they're in a lousy division. I think Luck was starting to come around. You saw him in the second half of that Monday game against Carolina and had a very good game getting beat up, getting hit on his ass all night against all day against the Broncos last Sunday. I think the Colts of those four teams are going to suffer the most. Broncos have some injuries. DeMarcus Ware's out. Steelers with Big Ben. And the Patriots lost Deion Lewis, a running back that no one's really talking about this season, but very monumental in their offense. But they have number 12 back there. They'll be fine.
Okay. What's really interesting, lacerated spleen or kidney. We saw that with Luck, and we saw it with Keenan Allen before, the wide receiver for the Chargers. We're talking about him. When you go back to the causes, and I do think what you're saying about the collective bargaining agreement does have something to do with it. On the other hand, it's how big and fast these players are getting. Their muscles are getting bigger. But their ligaments aren't getting bigger. In fact, their ligaments are getting more taut. When I think about a lacerated kidney or a lacerated spleen, that is just, that's pure collision contact that's hitting a certain area of your body that I think changes things. And I don't know. I still say we've got to get rid of projectile tackling. You've got to wrap somebody up and then bring them down. You can't projectile
tackle. Absolutely agree with it. I couldn't agree with you more, and it's something we haven't talked about, but maybe you segued me into this, John, is the fact that youth football is down 28% this year. That's the biggest drop-off ever in youth football. And parents are saying, you know what, John, you and your beautiful wife, Terry, are a parent of a young boy. And he says, Dad, I want to play baseball or football. 20 years ago, you'd say play football or play what you want. I guarantee you 90% of the time that parent's saying play baseball because every parent's seen and every kid's seen the injuries these guys are getting at the top level of the game, and it's great. You're not going to stop people from getting bigger and faster. They are. It's a much bigger game. You remember when you and I were younger in the 70s? If you were a defensive lineman, you could be 190 to 220. Now these guys are 6'4", and they're 270 and run a 4'5". That's crazy. Yeah. The collisions are just unreal. I don't know how sometimes these guys get up from just a simple collision, and you're seeing more concussions. It's scary because I think the future of football depends upon what you just said. If they don't take out projectile hitting like that, you're going to see this league drop off in 20 years.
Yeah, just a quick personal aside for me. I never played high school football because my dad, whose dad, my grandfather was a doctor, forbid me from doing it. Now, I was angry at the time, but I got to tell you right now, as I'm approaching 60 years old, I don't have creaks and I don't have problems with my back or my head. Well, you might say I do, but I go and I play a lot of celebrity golf events with a lot of former pro football players, and a lot of these guys, they're having problems. They're having cognitive problems. There's no doubt about that. And there's a big, big difference in someone like me who really, you know, who I played baseball and basketball. And I wasn't involved in those collisions. And I didn't play college football at all. So I do agree with you. And I do think things are changing. ESPN, no, was ESPN? No. It might have been MSNBC this week did a whole thing on how many high school kids are dying playing high school football. And that number keeps going up. So there does have to be something.
It's a huge story. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you. It is a huge story to look out for and for the future of this game. It's America's number one sport, and it's growing monumentally every year. But this is the biggest concern the league is going to have to deal with in its future, because it's just – I mean, look, I went to the Raider-Jet game a couple weeks ago with my son. And I can't believe how many ex-Raiders I saw walking with canes. And even Marcus Allen was there, and he's walking with a limp. And he's 53 years old.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to talk to him. I've known Marcus since my days living in L.A. I had a nightclub. He used to come in. And I said, how many concussions do you think you've had? He called me E. He goes, I don't know. He goes, we never had concussion protocol back in the 80s and early 90s. I could have 13 or 14, but I do have some short, you know, memory loss and what have you. And look at Jim McMahon's got to go into a home soon. It's so concerning for the league, and they have to do something about this. This is a progressive league. The National Football League does address issues, and you saw the way they handled domestic violence, and they have a whole committee set up, and they did. When the whole concussion thing came out, they sent out almost $1 billion to all these ex-players. And you play in the NFL for more than 2 years, you are set medically for the rest of your life when it concerns concussion. So it is a progressive league, but how do you stop kids from getting bigger and faster and high school kids dying and the collisions? You're right. The bottom line is we could talk to a blue in the face on this subject, but unless you stop the projectile and you teach that, then the future of football could be in trouble.
All right, let's talk about the cheap shot on Teddy Bridgewater. Vikings coach Mike Zimmer called out Rams defensive coach Greg Williams, formerly of the Saints, saying he coaches cheap shots. LaMarcus Joyner said he didn't mean it when he hit him, but he did get fined $23,000 by the league. What do you think about that whole incident and the fallout?
I disagree with what Mike Zimmer said. Greg Williams is a guy that was one of the orchestrators of Bountygate. So if anyone's watching his ass on anything he does right now because he got a second chance, is that guy. I don't think he teaches it. I think he teaches a very aggressive defense. You want this guy as a defensive coordinator. And this doesn't help his case, is that Adrian Peterson, who plays for the Vikings, their superstar running back, came out and said, I don't think it was a cheap shot. And that's against his own player, Teddy Bridgewater. So I think LaMarcus Joyner might have, you know, I think it's on the player. I don't think you coach that. I think a lot of times it's on the player. I've never heard of coaches teaching dirty tactics. Again, I've heard of coaches saying, hey, if you take this guy out and it happened in Bountygate, you know, there's something for you at the end of the table. But I disagree with Mike Zimmer and the whole thing. That was a Marcus Joyner, and most of the time, and I've seen it. You know what? I'll give you an example. The Dominican Sue is probably one of the dirtiest players in the league and has been fined numerous times. And not one coach that ever coached that has coached this guy, from Joe Philbin to Jim Caldwell to Jim Schwartz. They're class acts as far as the teaching of the game. So it's on the player, John.
All right. It is Friday, so we have one game in the books already. Bills outlasted the Jets in a defensive battle last night. I thought this was an entertaining game, despite the lack of really good quarterback play.
Yeah, it was. And what I learned is that the AFC is made up of the Cincinnati Bengals, New England Patriots, and the Notch Bowl, the Denver Broncos, and that's it. I mean, these are teams playing that are vying for the wild card. You get the four teams vying for the wild card. You got the Jets, the Bills, I think, the Raiders, believe it or not, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't see any of those teams taking the leap. Maybe the Raiders. You know, and we'll talk about that maybe later. But game was – did you know that Buffalo didn't have a first down until that last drive when they run the clock out? Since 11 minutes ago in the third quarter, they had like seven three and outs. it was a putrid game to watch from a football aficionado standpoint. And you know, I look, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a great manager of a football team. He made some really iffy and stupid throws in that game. And divisional game, the whole drama about Rex Ryan going back to New York, I don't like his theatrics. He should have been an actor because he's so much into theatrics and being about himself, and that doesn't work well in NFL locker room. Bottom line, I don't think if either one of these teams make the playoffs, they're one and done.
Let's get into something that you and I are certainly experts on, and that's fashion. Last night, the NFL unveiled its color rush uniforms. The Jets, they wore all green. The Bills wore all red. Wouldn't they wear all blue? Was this too much, or is it time that we get out of the black and white TV age and not have to have one team wearing white? I was actually okay with it last night. I think it was okay. It said that the black and white era of TV is over.
I wasn't. If you have a few libations, like some people I know tend to do, and you know, hey, look at that, John. We're watching Bowling Green against Nebraska. Exactly what it looked like. When you start having pro teams look like college football teams, or with the Pittsburgh Steelers with those jail cell jerseys they wear, stay with the uniforms that we have. I didn't like it last night. The Bills, to me, always had that blue with the helmet, and it didn't work. I mean, you know, the Jets in green, fine. That's our color, and that's our it was all green, but it didn't work for me last night.
Start your Christmas shopping early. That's what it reminded me of.
You see?
All right. Let's go to some of what I think are the best games here. Sunday night, the Cards go to Seattle. And again, we're talking about injuries and stuff like this, but this is going to be a head knocker. This is going to be a really good game, I think.
Game of the week. Anthony, if everyone's talking about the Arizona Cardinals and their leap to an elite team in the NFC, and there's not many, I mean, you know, the Carolina Panthers are definitely the elite, but that's not saying I like them, and Green Bay's had a couple of glitches the last couple of weeks. If they're going to take that leap, they have to win this game because they have a two-game lead on Seattle. The game's in Seattle. If Arizona wins this game, they're three games up, and I think that then Seattle's vying for a wild card the rest of the year. If Seattle wins this game, and I'm picking Seattle to win this game, this and that, they're right back in the hunt, and it'd be interesting to see how the Cardinals play out the rest of the season.
All righty. I don't know who to go with this. And I agree. I think Seattle's back's up against well. I just don't like what they're doing. I'm such a big Seattle fan. I just don't like it. I see the Cards actually going in there, even though the Cards suck on the road. But we'll see. We'll talk about that next week. Panthers hit the road in Tennessee to meet the rejuvenated Titans. Maybe an upset here. I thought the Panthers were really tested last week. And maybe the Titans and Marcus are ready. I'm going to go with the Titans in this one.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of upsets this week you could look at, and I like it. I like the Panthers to win the game because I thought, look, they had an emotional win over the Colts on Monday Night Football a couple of weeks back, and they came out the next week and laid the wood on the Green Bay Packers last Sunday and looked terrific. And Cam Newton's going to get up there with some of the votes of Tom Brady for MVP.
Yeah.
I like the Panthers here, but it would not shock anyone in the nation. And you're really – I love the play of – I like the maturation right now, what's going on between Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. Mariota's missed a couple of games. It comes down and throws four touchdowns and looks great. So you're right. There's an upset special. This is one of them. I have another one later maybe we can get into. But I like the Panthers to win, but I don't think anyone would be surprised if the Titans did.
Okay, we'll get into all of them, so don't worry about it. Patriots play the Giants in the double Super Bowl rematch. Will Brady be as angry at losing his only two Super Bowls to the same team, the Giants, as he is about Deflategate? I don't know if the Giants got their number or not, and I'm fans of both teams. They're both my team, so I'm winning this game no matter what. I don't know how to call this one. I'm thinking the Giants are going to win this game.
Well, they could, but yeah. I'm picking the Patriots to win this game. There's no other team that's more focused in the National Football League or in any sport right now than the New England Patriots. If you listen to their locker room talk, I mean, you listen to every time Bill Belichick is after a game, he looks like he lost, and he's always on to the next opponent. They could win a game 35-7, and it's I'm on to Cincinnati. I'm on to the Raiders. Now I'm on to the Giants. You know, it's a team that's so focused right now. I don't know if he goes back to those Super Bowl games. I think that this is a new season and a new Patriots team. And what concerns about the Giants is their defensive backfield. Prince Amukamara is out. Rodgers Cromartie's injured. I mean, they have some injuries in that secondary, and that doesn't bode well for playing Tom Brady, who's going to have to rely more on his passing game with Amendola and Welker and Gronkowski and the other guys, LaFell, because they have some injuries at running back. I like the Patriots.
Okay, Monday night has the Texans traveling to the jungle in Cincy, still undefeated. And again, I like Cincy. I really like what they're doing. And again, it's regular season. I'm picking the Texans in an upset here.
Yeah. See, what you're doing is you're smart. I mean, the fact that you're 60 and you talk about, you know, how good you look
yet.
And this and that.
Give me 3 or 4 days.
You've never talked about the lack of general success that you've had in your life. And this is something that you're going to have to grow some balls on, because you're picking a lot of trap games. I love the fact you're picking what's called trap games.
Yeah.
Love it. I like it. Well, you know what, John? Are we going to see Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt signing? Because both guys have been pretty absent all year. And Brian Hoyer's playing pretty consistent football. I think the lack of not having Arian Foster there. And DeAndre Hopkins is quietly having a Pro Bowl season. Their wide receiver.
Yep.
And pick up the slack for losing Andre Johnson. I like Cincinnati in this game. But, again, I'm Masonically cliche. If Houston went in there and won, would not be shocked.
Yeah, I just think it's time for the 7-0 teams to, it's like, okay, we've been on a run. It's about time something happens. And I think it would actually be good for them as well. Chiefs go to the Broncos, who look bad, and they've got some injuries, a suspension on defense. Chiefs look great in that last game in London. They're not going to be in London, but at the same time, too, I'm going with the Chiefs in this one.
Me too. I am. This is my upset special that I kind of teased into that a little while ago. I like the Chiefs when they're playing very good football. You know, the Broncos have one loss, but we talked about this on every show that we've done. They're so close to losing almost every game, and it caught up to them last week. There's a lot of games they should have lost. They should have lost to Cleveland. They should have lost to the Raiders, and they didn't. They found a way to win because number 18 is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they have a great defense, but when you have a defensive glitch like they had last week, it catches up to you, and the Colts are playing for their lives. And I like Kansas City in this game. Kansas City has to win this game. They lose this game, their season's over.
Yeah, absolutely. Browns get the banged-up Steelers in Pittsburgh. Again, I'm going with the Browns in this one. Even though it's in Pittsburgh, Browns are due for a better game because they have one good game and then they have two lousy games. This is probably going to be their good one. I think the Steelers... Big Ben's not there. I just think it's a problem for them.
Yeah, but they went 2-0 with Michael Vick. They beat Arizona, and they beat the Chargers on the road. And then Landry Jones came in and just, I mean, look, you and I could have thrown against the Raiders last week. That was abysmal. But bottom line is, I like the Steelers in this game. I think they have too much. I think Antonio Brown's on another planet the way he's playing this season. And you, D'Angelo Williams is the best running back that's not a starter in this league. And I just,
absolutely.
The Browns'
absolutely.
Defense is ranked. I'm a big advocate. When your defense is ranked in the lower 20s, you're going to find a way to lose. And Johnny Manziel was asked yesterday, it looks like, you know, Mike Pettin said, the head coach of the Browns, said that if Josh McCown is healthy, he's going to start. They're not convinced that Johnny Manziel is their guy. And Manziel didn't handle it well. He goes, it's going to be tough to go back to the bench. I feel I've earned. He didn't earn anything, Johnny. Josh McCown threw for 456 yards 2 weeks before he got injured, or the week before he got injured, and when it was AFC Offensive Player of the Week. You haven't proved anything. You had a very good drive against Cincinnati on that Thursday night game a week ago, and then you had 7 straight 3-and-outs. I talked to a lot of Browns fans, my family, my wife's family, and they're not convinced that Johnny Manziel is a guy, and he's not handling the media well. I like the Steelers.
Okay. We were talking with our expert, Eric Schneider, and author of the book of the Raiders and Raider Nation. He's also on the Power Hour at 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Next two games we're going to talk about, and I think these are the two worst defenses in football, one in each of the games. The first, Oakland Raiders defense, they go to the Vikings at home. I should say they get the Vikings at home. I love the Raiders' offense. I really love it. It's just whenever the defense comes on the field, you just kind of go, oh, boy. And I like what the Vikings are doing. Teddy Bridgewater will play this week. I think I'm going to go with the Raiders in this one.
Yeah, I think it's a bounce-back game for the Raiders, although I'm not confident in saying that. I think that their offense is – Derek Carr's having a Pro Bowl season. I don't want to jinx the kid. But I've never seen a Raider defense this bad. They had a bad defense, and Rob Ryan, believe it or not, and you're going to talk about this team next, Yeah. And he was their defensive coordinator the first couple of years under Norv Turner back in 2004 and 5, and their defense was horrid. This is ridiculous. They gave up 284 yards to receiver, which can't happen in the National Football League, to Antonio Brown. When I was at the Raider Jet game, they had on the Jumbotron, they had the Raider logo comes on, John, and barely on this, and all of a sudden the Raiders fight song comes on. And then Greg Papa, who's the Raiders radio announcer for years, says, okay, Raider fans, geography lesson. And it shows a picture of the globe, and it says 73% of the planet is covered by water. The other 27% is covered by Charles Woodson. And that's it. That's all they got on defense. They got a 39-year-old guy who's going to the Pro Bowl, who won AFC Defensive Player of the Month in October. They're bad. But do they have enough to beat the Vikings? I do. I think their offense, when they get clicking, they will get clicking, is going to be enough. But, again, I know I'm getting long-winded. I'm watching. I'll give you two Raider games, for example. They're up 37-6 against the Chargers with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I'm looking at my son, Max, and I said, are the Chargers really lining up for an onside kick to possibly tie this game? And then they were up 28-6 with 13 minutes to go against the Jets. And all of a sudden it's 34-20 with 8 minutes to go in the game, and the Jets have the ball. They can't close anybody out, and this is why I'm not big on Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton. These are defensive geniuses, and this team sucks on defense. Did I make my point clear about that?
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. Let's move on. The second bad defense is the Saints. They go to D.C. to play the Skins. I got the Skins in this game. I just think the Skins, after coming off last week's Patriots game, will probably do better, even though most teams, after they play the Patriots, usually stink the next week. But at the same time, too, I kind of like the Skins in this. The Saints are just a goofy team for me, especially on the road.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they've actually played better on the road than they do at home, believe it or not. But the aforementioned Rob Ryan coaches that defense, and his assistant defensive coordinator is a guy who got a name by his first year with the team. Is a guy by the name of Dennis Allen. Does that sound familiar? He coached the Raiders.
Absolutely.
His defensive genius took over the Raiders, had one of the worst records in 3 years, the Raiders, of any coach in the NFL, and their defense is abysmal. I love using that word, abysmal, and you know.
It's too many syllables.
I think Kirk Cousins has done a decent job. We talked about injuries earlier in the segment. Another team riddled in injuries is the Redskins, and they seem to have overcome it. I like the Redskins also.
Okay. Third lousy defense could be the Packers. Lions go to Lambeau to maybe help the Packers get better, or is the Packers defense that bad that Matthew Stafford might resurrect himself?
You know, how many times over the years we've been friends, we're talking about this Aaron Rodgers run since 2009, 2010. Yeah. I said, God, this is one of the future Hall of Fame stars in this league. You could see this kid all the years he sat behind Brett Favre and learned. He comes out, he's gangbusters. But they've always had a defense ranked in the 20s. I've always said that Clay Matthews Jr. is not a great player. He's a good player. He's overhyped because he's a great-looking kid like J.J. Watt. And for whatever reason, with the long hair, their defense stinks. It's really bad. And you can see the frustration with Aaron Rodgers last week with breaking the tablet, and they're always in a hole. Do they fix it against the Lions? Yeah, the Lions stink also, but it doesn't bode well for them in the future.
Okay. Hey, since we're talking about Matthew Stafford here, we can also mention Colin Kaepernick here. These are quarterbacks that their teams may be looking to make changes. Now, you could say the Browns, Titans are going to do the same thing too, and we touched on this earlier. One reason, this might be one of the best years in a while for quarterbacks, college quarterbacks in the draft. Give us a look at some of the final month of the college season, who you would look at, and why is this so important to the NFL? Is it the fact that we're beginning to see some quarterbacks really evolve at a young age once they get into the NFL, and we can quickly see the ones that aren't going to evolve? Talk about that, and as far as what we should be looking at if we're going to be watching some college games over the next few weeks.
Great lead, and I'll start with 3 years ago. E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith were the only two quarterbacks taken in the first and second round of the 2013 draft, and both have struggled. Now let's go to 2014 draft. You got Bortles, Bridgewater, Manziel, and then Derek Carr early in the second round, and three of those guys are really productive.
Three out of four.
Manziel, the jury's out. Last season, you had two guys taken in the first and second picks, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and they're really maturing and playing terrific football for rookies on pretty bad football teams. So The scale is scaled down. When you and I were younger, I remember Kenny Stabler sitting on the Raider bench for 4 years before he can get in. We just mentioned
Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers. You guys sat. Steve Young sat for years behind Joe Montana. Doesn't happen anymore. You're seeing the quarterback play pick up at such a high level or a good level in the first or second year, the pressure's on. So the Colin Kaepernicks, the RG3s, maybe Johnny Manziel, the Matthew Staffords, there's guys out there right now. I'm going to mention some names too because I think this is a huge quarterback-heavy draft. I'm not talking the first or second pick, but I'm saying a couple guys are going to go in the first round, a couple guys are going to go in the second round, and you're going to probably have, I wouldn't doubt if they have eight quarterbacks taken between the middle of the first round and the top of the third round. And let me give you some names of the guys that I think are the elite ones. Deshaun Watson out of Clemson is 67.9% in his completion percentage, and he does it all. He's a combination of Winston and Mariota. He can run, and he also stands in the pocket. He's a big kid. Cardale Jones, the guy who led Ohio State. I know your wife's a big Ohio State fan, so is mine. To the national championship. There was talk about him coming out because a lot of scouts said, come out. You're eligible.
Yeah.
He's going to go in the first or second round. Trevon Boykin out of TCU. If you follow this kid, I mean,
yeah.
This kid makes all the throws. This kid reminds me of Russell Wilson. I'm going to give you some NFL comparisons, okay? Cody Kessler of USC.
Mm-hmm.
You with this guy?
Yep.
Derek Carr. Okay? He makes all the throws,
yep.
And he stands in the pocket, makes all the reads. And let me give you a couple of guys that I think – have had a fall off, and they were in the top of my quarterback echelon this year, and they fell off, but they're still going to go and have productive NFL careers. Kevin Hogan of Stanford and Christian Hackenberg of Penn State. A lot of listeners will know who these two guys are because they had great years last year, and like a Dan Marino or a Matt Barkley that had great junior years and had bad senior years and fell in the draft. I mean, Matt Barkley drafted to the fourth round. Marino went late in the first round in Miami. Had a great career, we know that. And then let me give you two guys that I think that have started out this season, had great years and fallen off, but they're still going to go within the second, third round. Jared Goff out of Cal and Dak Prescott from Mississippi. So you've got – I just named you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks that I think are going to make an impact in the NFL.
Now, the one you didn't mention was the Notre Dame quarterback, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, and DeShone Kizer. And I saw him play last
Malik
week.
Malik Zaire, right?
Malik, DeShone Kizer. DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And I was impressed with him. You didn't even name him in there, but to me, if you go back – you know, maybe 5 to 10 years when a lot of these college programs, and look at, you know, Jim Harbaugh going into Michigan, they're creating and they're putting in the pro offenses. So you've got that West Coast offense where a lot of them are used to that. And I think you're beginning to see it. So going back to your point, I'm seeing a couple of guys that I think have actually got some great tools, some nice touch. You're not even naming them. So they're developing more quarterbacks, which to me would say to the Johnny Manziels and some of the others there, hey, you know what? You may be out.
The window's closing. You're right. And there's a couple other guys I like I haven't mentioned. I just gave you the top seven that I – think, and I did my homework on this and talked to a couple of people, John Clayton from ESPN, and this is what he's hearing. Todd McShay is really high on Cardale Jones and Cody Kessler, and because they're coached in pro offenses, basically with USC, he's always ran a pro offense, the student body right and run the ball and throw the ball deep, and then Cardale Jones, Urban Meyer is really good. I mean, Urban Meyer produced Tim Tebow, but that he's really good at producing quarterbacks. We'll see what happens, but again, you're right. The window of opportunity for quarterbacks, if you suck and you have a couple down years, you're gone.
Yeah. Well, I would tell Johnny, hey, go north of the border. You'll be a great Canadian Football League quarterback. So let's move on to some other games here. Hard luck Cowboys go to the Buccaneers. If the Cowboys lose here, are they done?
Yes.
Okay.
They're done. I mean, I know their division and the Giants are 5-4. They're 2-6 right now, and they split with the Giants. And you know what? This is another game. We didn't talk about the game, but the Buccaneers are playing very good football right now. They're just not finding ways to win. I like the Buccaneers in this game because I think they're going to find a way to wrap up Matt Castle. And quietly, the last three games, Jameis Winston looks like a real pro quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, it's a couple of quick points here. One, you know, if you look at the Cowboys in most of their games, they're in all those games. I think they've only been blown out of one game. And they're actually pretty close. They don't close.
No.
And that, to me, could be the difference there, why you would pick the Buccaneers. The other thing, you mentioned Matt Castle. Let's go back to the quarterback thing. He hardly played at all at USC, and he got drafted out of the NFL because he was at a quarterback university.
Yeah,
isn't
well,
that interesting?
Pete Carroll, real quick. Pete Carroll went to recruit a top-flight running back out of Texas. He didn't get the kid, but he said to the guy, he goes, "Why?" The kid goes, "Parents go, why should I play for you?" And he picked up, pulled a picture of Matt Castle and said, "See this guy right here? He just won 11 games for the Patriots last year. Never played a game at USC." So it was a great, one of the greatest things I've ever heard about, you know. And there's other sports too. I mean, UCLA. Sven Nader was the backup to Bill Walton and never played
Sven
at UCLA.
Nader. That's
12,
true.
12 years. Remember that name? 12 years
yeah.
in the NBA. So, you know, if
yeah,
you have a good program,
forward,
you
yeah.
find talent, you get it out there. Okay.
Yeah. Dolphins kind of wallow their way into Philly to play the Eagles. I really thought the Dolphins were beginning to move. I thought they would handle the Bills last week, but the Bills, I thought the Bills took care of them really well. Philly, I don't know. I mean, they're winning, but I don't know. I'm going with
what
the
team? What team shows up? Right? I like Philly. I like Philly.
Yeah,
I think Philly turned a corner last week. I don't think Bradford was playing as bad as everyone said he was. There was a lot of miscommunication. A lot of their players mm-hmm. were injured. Zach Ertz was out. Nelson Aguilar, their great receiver out of USC in the draft, is always injured. And then they're finally getting DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews in the same page. I like Philly in this game.
Okay, I do too. Jags get the Ravens in Baltimore. If you're a fantasy player, you're about the only ones that's going to pay attention to this game. I don't. Who cares?
Right. Okay. Let's go to fantasy then.
Let's go to fantasy. I'm going to stop you at wide receiver, but give me your quarterback, because I got a quick question on wide receiver. It relates back to what we were talking about before. Quarterback, who are you picking?
Aaron Rodgers.
Now, why is that?
I believe he's going to have a breakout game. He's due for a good game. The Lions' defense, their secondary is ranked 27th. They're
okay.
at home, and I think that he's going to have a great game. I look at other matchups around the league. I look at other games, and I said this is the one that stands out to me.
Cool. All right, running back.
Todd Gurley, a guy who I have as rookie of the year. He missed the first four games of the season. He's got 664 yards. He's fourth mm-hmm. in the league in rushing behind Peterson, Devonta Freeman, and Chris Johnson. So I like Todd Gurley playing against the Chicago run defense, which ranked 23rd.
Okay. On wide receiver, when you were talking about Antonio Brown the other day, or just earlier in the show, and I was thinking if you go back to his numbers were not big unless Ben was in there. Do you agree with that?
He had some decent, yeah, but Michael Vick couldn't. But Landry Jones had a great game with him against Arizona. Michael Vick mm-hmm. couldn't hit him. Michael Vick couldn't throw a pea in the ocean if he was standing in a boat those games. They won because of the defense stepping up. But the Arizona game when Landry Jones came in, and him and Antonio Brown, and you got to remember, he had that big pass to Antonio Brown in the game against the Raiders. So I like Antonio Brown.
So you he would be your pick for this week?
Him, and I also like Odell Beckham against the Patriots. The Patriots got some problems in the secondary, and I think that right now him and Eli are on the same page. I like Odell Beckham. I would take Antonio Brown. Number one, I'd always take Julio Jones if Atlanta's playing, but Atlanta's on a bye because he's killing. He's got 1,029 yards. He's on a pace for 2,000 yards receiving. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know.
Just that defense can't keep him on the field. Let's talk about tight end. Who are you picking?
Crockett Gilmore. We talked about the Jags and the Ravens. He's having a really good season. Leads the league in touchdowns for a tight end. I think the Giants will find a way to stop Gronk. He's number two for me, but I'll take that.
Okay. How about
I'll
the defense?
I'll take Crockett Gilmore against the Jaguars.
Okay. Defense.
I'm going to go with two teams. Arizona and Seattle. I think it's going to be a 14-12 game. You're going to see some turnovers in this game, some sacks, some fumbles. These guys are going to hit the crap out of each other. And I like both. Every other game I looked at, there's not a defense that stands out to make it stop anybody. This is not a good matchup for defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I can, I would take either Arizona or Seattle. I think it's a very low scoring. It reminds you of those old NFC North games
mm-hmm.
with the Bears and,
yeah.
and the Vikings back in the 80s, you know?
Mick Tingelhoff.
Oh, love him.
Kicker.
Steven Gostkowski. I picked the Patriots to win this game, and they'll do enough to get him some field goal. And the Giants will stop them, and the Giants are very good in red zone defense, which
mm-hmm.
means that lands the team up for field goal. So I like Steven Gostkowski.
Okay, last man standing.
Green Bay Packers. You see them losing three in a row and losing to the 1-7 Detroit Lions? I don't. Now, I had New Orleans last week against the Titans, and they lost. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, if Packers lose, there's going to be a lot of curdled cheese up there in Wisconsin. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Boychuk, wrap up this week for me. What are you looking at? What are the issues before we go into Week 11?
I'm looking at teams that could be eliminated from playoff contention. I think Dallas Cowboys, pivotal game for them right now. Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, you're talking about Dallas and Kansas City on the road for their playoff lives. And the game I think everyone should look at right now is Arizona and Seattle. I think if Arizona wins this game, not only are they a viable they're going to win the NFC West, but you got to put them in there for that second seed. I think they'll beat out Green Bay for that second seed. I think Carolina's going to lock up the first seed in that conference with seven games to go. Other than that, let's keep an eye on – I hate to say this, but we're having big injuries every week, and let's hope that subsides this week.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll be looking at as well. All right, we're going to also watch the fantasy sports, see what happens, what transpires there, and a lot of the other issues that are transpiring as well. Another week of intrigue and controversy. We've been talking with our expert, Eric Schneider, author of a book on the Raiders and Raider Nation. He is also on the Power Hour on 1340 Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. Boychuk, thanks as always.
Hey, thanks. Have a great week, John.
All right, buddy, you too. And you can follow all my coverage on Twitter and Facebook on John Daly Sports. Folks, thanks for following and tuning in. We will catch you next week.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informnotinflamed.com.